a lot of people have made the mistake and thought, okay, Sherman's an anarchist. There was some anarchist information on the website. But one thing that people can't distinguish or understand, you hear anarchist and we're like automatically put into a group and assumed and labeled and like have all these images. But one thing with him and with the website and his friends and the rest of us, we don't fit that stereotypical anarchist mold either. And neither did the website. It wasn't your typical anarchist website. There was information about everything and anything on there. And diverse tactics. And the main thing that the website promoted was self-defense, autonomous actions, working locally, and and thinking globally, basically, that cliche. But and he put out information, mostly, almost everything on that website had to deal with people of color and issues dealing with people of color all over the world, not just in the United States. And I think people confuse it a lot, like when they're dealing with him, and I think that's where some of the problems have gotten into it within the activist community. Like they're wondering, why didn't he have more secured this or that and the other on his website? I don't know what he could have done. This would have really happened regardless. If they didn't get him on this, they would have gotten him on something else. The point was to shut him up and to shut down the website. And like we went over this last week, when his house was raided and Detective Pai was in the house and talked afterwards, he directly said, Sherman has stepped over the line. He needs to learn to step back in line and he'll be fine. This is really not a big deal. So if Sherman had kept his mouth shut after all this and shut down his website and not put it back up and not went to New York, not went to the World Economic Forum, I really, really believe, and he believes, and his friends and the rest of us believe, that he would have been fine, and this would have just gone away nicely. It took them such a long time to come up with these bogus charges. Like, a lot of people miss that, and they're like, you could have done this or that. No, he was the target. They would have picked him up regardless at some point on whatever else. Like, he was, this website was the target, and activists seem to be missing that entire point and saying, let's do this more securely online. Well, get it straight, you're not secure online, no matter what you're doing. You're not even secure out on the street. So I think they need to kind of back off in that and support him and hear what he's trying to say and hear what happened to him. And instead of like attacking him on all of those other things, actually be able to understand what he's saying and support him on the fact that he's a political prisoner now.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the organizations you were working with locally in terms of, talked about some environmental organizations and organizations that were organized by people of color and the issues there and stuff?
Yeah, one of the organizations I was working with, an environmental organization, and I was working in Wilmington, was Communities for a Better Environment. And they were basically fighting to try and phase out, what was the chemical again?
HF.
Yeah, hydrofluoric acid within the refineries. Because, I mean, Wilmington is a community that's surrounded by like five refineries. I mean, you can just go into Wilmington and immediately smell the stuff that's coming out of these refineries. I mean, it's just so disgusting. I mean, just not even just to have to look at them as an eyesore, but just to smell it and live in it daily. I mean, that was just, I mean, they got the refinery to phase out the chemical, but that was just a little victory, and that was just so much for the community to win. So, I mean, I think it was good being involved with that, you know, any way I could, because, I mean, it's one step further, it's one step closer to people, you know, trying to change things that directly affect them on a, you know, everyday basis. Do you want to talk?
Oh, well, yeah, like, especially, like, people of poverty and, of course, of color, because all these refineries are targeted around low-income communities, minority communities, and you helping out, like, you know, bringing awareness, especially on your website, that's, like, essential to, like, the struggle and, like, to keeping down those refineries, to attacking and, you know, keep on killing these people, you know, giving them diseases like cancer, asthma, like, so many breathing problems are affecting children and mothers and fathers and elderly, like, every day. So him helping us was, in the community was very essential. And
yeah, even like when there was a group from Palm Springs, some students that came down there to Wilmington, like when they went there, they were like, wow, the air smells so bad. And like they come from such a rich area that they don't get to like smell what we smell every day.
Yeah.
And like they wouldn't experience like, I don't know, just like attacks of like your lungs, like feeling weird or whatnot. And, like, Sherman, like, helping us out in our environment, that was really good. Like, even he put things up on his website to show support to us. Like, no one else will put it up. Yeah. Not even the mainstream media.
Yeah, and, like, it's funny because, I mean, you don't see these type of refineries over in, you know, communities like Beverly Hills. You always see them in low-income areas where they, you know, try to keep people uneducated and, you know, try to keep them down and keep repressing them and all sorts of, you know, whether it's unemployment or police brutality or other sorts of things they use just to try and basically repress people and keep them keep them down and not you know, basically
or buy them off.
Yeah, or buy them off. You know, basically have it so they're not aware of their rights, you know, aware that what they can do as a community is if they come together and challenge these type of issues. Other organizations like I was working with Gonzalo Martinez, his family, he was shot 14 times by a machine gun in Downey by the police there. I've been working with that family. And I'll get to that too. I was helping organize with that family as well. They had a police brutality march over there in Downey. I also provided information on my website about that and attended that event, attended meetings, and things like that. also with Taco Bell protests in Irvine. I don't know if a lot of people out there are familiar with the tomato pickers or where Taco Bell gets their tomatoes from. But these people are paid, what is it, nine cents
for every 32-pound bucket of tomatoes.
39 cents for every 32-pound bucket of tomatoes. And a lot of these people have families and, you know, they can't live. I mean, they have to support, you know, their families and they can't live off these slave wages. So, I mean, there was a big national march on the main headquarters of Taco Bell in Irvine. And also, I was also involved with that and helping people organize for that and also put information on my site.
Yeah, he put up a lot of information on the website to help the event get pulled together and helped us with a lot of art for it, too. Different people from the shop did.
Yeah. I've also, just stuff myself, too, just trying to get more involved within the community. I've myself, you know, organized police brutality marches in Long Beach. One march I organized in Long Beach was on August 3rd last year, and it was a pretty good march because a lot of people actually came in from outside the community. They came into our center, the Info Shop, which is AKA the Reach Center in Long Beach, and they started to get involved, which is really cool because, I mean, not just, you know, older people were in there, but, you know, kids came too, like a 10-year-old and like an 8-year-old, and like all these people were people of color, and, you know, they all came from, you know, low-income backgrounds, you know, people who experience these problems on a daily basis. And, like, a lot of people were excited to, you know, at least go out there and at least voice their opinion and at least, you know, voice their anger about what was going on. Because, I mean, usually when people, you know, lose family members to police, anytime they try to, you know, organize around it, police are always, you know, intimidating them, driving past their houses, you know, threatening them. I mean, the Gonzalo Martinez family was talking about this as well. Another family in Orange County that worked with the OCRC was also talking about this. Do you want to mention that or should I? He was locked up for like 20. I don't know the full 22 years. Yeah, and you know they were trying to get more involved and more organized, and they were also experiencing, you know, increasing levels of intimidation tactics from the police. So I mean, just these little things are like they may be little steps, but I mean they're giant steps for the community.
And it was also like to speak about Sherman, we have to associate it to Raise the Fist. The site was really, really resourceful. There have been people on there that recently, ever since this has happened to him, kids that are like 14, 13, 12, 15 years old, emailing us from all over. Because this was a site they could relate to, not just because, oh, it promoted something violent or promoted something bad. This is a site where they could go to where someone kind of similar to their age that could talk to them and put out information about things that are going on all over the world. I know with me, any time like there was activities going on within the Iranian community and with events going on in Iran and solidarity projects going on in Iran and back here, all I had to do was ask him and he would put out all this information out about it. It was a great, and it still is, a great resource as far as putting things together. If you go on the website itself, it's not just some random thing, here, learn how to make a Molotov cocktail. It has nothing like that. There's actual news that you see on Yahoo or different places, and then it goes into details, and there's places where people can respond to the news stories that are put up and talk about it back and forth and learn a lot more. It was an educational tool, and that was a threat. Anything that will take these kids or the youth out away from the mainstream media or MTV and actually put information in your hands and tell you, hey, you can help out and you can do something and you can get involved, that's a direct threat to our country and our society and the way our government's run.
All right, we have some tracks that I want to play.
Sherman did electronica.
It's not electronica. It's hardcore.
Straight up hardcore electronica.
Electronica hardcore.
So there's two tracks here. I'll start with one,
One's softer, and then the other one's hardcore.
So you made this, right?
Yeah, these were two songs I made. The first one is a little bit more recent. The second one I made a while ago.
Okay.
Last year, almost 2 years ago.
All right, I'm going to play the first one. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This is killradio.org, and this is Agitrop. Back. This is killradio.org, and that was track one. I don't know what to call it. That was Sherman Austin's track one. We're going to do track two later. That was amazing. That was good.
Thank you.
So during that break, we were talking about what else we want to talk about, and one of the things that came up was specifically support within the anarchist community. So why don't you break that down and what you meant by that?
I'll talk about it, I guess. I mean, it's interesting because there's been more support within just the general community. I mean, like a cab driver just gave me his entire paycheck he made an entire day just because, you know, you wanted to lend some support. I mean, I've been getting, like, a lot of emails from people who just read about the case in, like, the LA Weekly or LA Times or just, you know, heard about it online, and they're just, you know, they're sure everyday people. I mean, they don't label themselves a communist, anarchist, socialist, or whatever. I mean, just normal people who just want to help out and just completely outraged that something like this could happen. I mean, I haven't gotten any support from, like, the anarchist movement. I mean, people, you know, have come forward and said, you know, they really want to, you know, help out and stuff like that. But overall, I mean, I've gotten more of a response from the, you know, general community, you know, just normal, you know, everyday people who are just, you know, completely outraged and want to help out. Do you want to add any more to that?
I think, troubling. I can understand being a part of this movement, we kind of get clumped together, and there's an unspoken, there's supposed to be some type of unspoken solidarity and support that's supposed to continue, especially in times of trouble. And I can understand that people want to criticize certain things or want to critique it to make sure it doesn't happen. But what kind of bothers me more has been focused as far as what type of, like, security culture Sherman broke or not, when people are completely ignoring the fact, like I said earlier, that Sherman was the target, not the information that he was putting out. And even though the information was used against him, he would have been a target of this. They were watching him since he was 14 years old. They've had records of him before Raise the Fist was up. And he didn't do anything wrong or break security culture by putting up that link. So that being thrown at him, I've read some really awful things and negative things within the anarchist community. It's really disappointing. I don't know if it's because he's not your conventional anarchist and doesn't follow those lines, and his friends and we or the ones around him don't. I don't know what the reason for it is. It's very disappointing, I know that a lot of the support has come from the outside. This guy who, like, I'm not going to say what company he works for, but he works for a major corporation, wrote a letter to his mom saying, you know, I work for so-and-so, which, you know, and I don't agree with any of your son's politics, but I believe in freedom of speech, and I don't believe he did anything wrong, and I want to support him, and I'm sending some money your way, and I'm sending letters to, like, editors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's sad that, like, regular people can read this case and get it a lot more than people within our movement and not criticize him as much and be able to lend support and understand it. And I think someone else has some stuff to say.
Yeah, I think you covered.
Tell us about what happened with the cab driver?
What happened?
Yeah, like how did he hook up with you?
Well, there was two cab drivers. I don't know if this cab driver was the same one that went into your work, but I got an email from a cab driver.
No, I just
I got work and I just like talked to people and I just told this cab driver about Sherman's case and he got outraged. He's like, "Damn, you know, what's happening to all the brothers out there? They're all getting
Just going back to a lot of the emails we've received, and a lot of people, this kid from, this 13-year-old girl from New Zealand emailed, and she's like, you know, you can tell I live in New Zealand from the title of where I said I came from, but I want to do something, I want to do anything, like, to help out. And going back to, like, things within our community, Sherman and I and the rest of us talk about this all the time, I think it's a matter of respect, understanding and support. We, for some reason, because of having so many things happen to people within the anarchist community, we've forgotten how to communicate to each other, and there's a lot of times that we feed in to the shit that's being thrown at us, and we perpetuate it, and we allow it to grow and fester. We really, as a whole, as a community, need to learn to come together, to figure out our problems without making it so dramatic. And When we're even calling people out on issues that we believe they've broken security culture or that you've messed up this way, instead of shunning people and pushing them out and going around talking shit on this email warfare that people have going on, try, like, talking to people. Try sitting down and actually dealing on the issue. Because if we continue to, like, push everyone that we think is fucked up or isn't radical or anarchist enough out of our movement, we're going to be left with nothing. And we're going to be left with no support. And no way of actually making our way out of this. Our movement cannot be a mirror of what's wrong within our society. We can't just have our politics change and our minds and our hearts continue to be the same and continue reacting the same way every time shit happens. There needs to be a better forum. We need, like, actual mental health, like, crisis anarchist lines at some point. Because, like, this is not working. We're, like, we have already a lot of shit thrown at us. If you look at our, not just the anarchist movement, but the activist movement as a whole, we are, not only do we see a lot of the shit that's going on within our society, we actually seek it out. We seek out the most atrocious and the most horrible things that are happening within humanity. And it can become extremely, depression can set in, disillusionment can set in, and we need to be able to walk, like, and support each other through that. And this is not some hippie statement of love or whatever. We really do, because, like, we can't sit there and just show up at a meeting once a week and plan an event and then go home. We need to reconnect with each other again, know each other's families and our friends, and on a personal level, go to each other's homes and eat and, like, talk to each other, know what's going on in your comrades', like, family life, if they're, and share, like, your cultures with each other and care about each other. And until we really do that and we start with our minds and our hearts, none of this organizing and none of these protests and none of these solidarity so-called events are going to go anywhere. They're just going to be another blimp on, like, nothing. And the our government will just continue laughing at us and fucking us over in the meantime.
Yeah. Like, a movement is something that's supposed to move. That's why it's called a movement. And, like, what is a movement, you know, based upon? It's based upon a community, you know. a community is like a family. Like, if you don't have a healthy community where people are, you know, will work with each other and, you know, grow with each other and, you know, try to develop with one another, then it's not going to be a movement because it's not going to be a community. It'll just be something like a dysfunctional family that's just going to fall apart and won't be like a family that's going to grow and stay together. I mean, if you look at, like, a lot of, you know, past organizations that are still around today, one of the reasons why they're still around and still organizing and still, you know, down with their shit and everything like that is because they had a really strong community. They had, you know, a really strong family behind what they were doing. You know, they grew together and they had problems here and there, but they, you know, solved them, you know, worked them out, and it's developed off that. So I think that's one of the things we also need to focus on as in being a movement.
And I completely agree with everything you're saying, and it's really it's inspiring to hear you say this and talk about it and recognize so many vulnerabilities in this movement. And you know, really what it comes down to is being able to, you know, break outside of the political ghetto that people put themselves in, and knowing how to talk to people who aren't, you know, that don't, you know, look like us or are quote unquote normal people. You know, I mean, that's the only way that people are going to find a way to break out of the apathy and the MTV and the, you know, this media culture. So
exactly.
You were talking about, and I think you probably addressed this, but you know, specifically said something about, you know, taking a more positive organizing approach and taking a, you know, a positive outlook, and I think you did articulate that just a minute ago, but you want to expand on that for
me?
Yeah. Chantel.
Well, we can all, because this is like when we hang out, it's really funny because, like, we know politically we mostly agree on a lot of the stuff. We have different little pet projects that we like to work on, but, like, we know each other on a personal level, and I can't stress how important that is. There's a level of, like, mistrust, I guess, or paranoia that, or security culture, whatever you want to call it, that should be there. But the only way that can even be eliminated, really, or walk through, is, I believe, get to know, like, the people that you plan on working with. And actually get to know them first before planning on working with them. You know, it's great that if you want to go and join an organization or a community doing stuff, but why not just talk to the people around you? What I see the most within, not just the anarchist community, to attack them, I'm not, but within the activist community, we build a bubble around us and we forget how to talk to normal people. And we sit in our, like, little groups and we speak this language that only we can understand, with these phrases that nobody else, like, if we were to go out the street and say security culture, what the fuck does that mean, you know? And, like, if you don't know what that is, you're not cool enough, you're not radical enough. And, like, what if you don't look like me? What if you choose to wear, like, crust punk clothes, and I choose to wear whatever else and put on makeup and do my hair every once in a while? Am I not cool enough or liberated enough for you? Like, if I don't listen to punk rock or hardcore, and I just choose to listen to, like, spoken word or even pop music sometimes, am I not cool enough for you at that point? Like, it almost seems dogmatic. It becomes like a weird religion that, like, you have to constantly be measuring up, and you forget to be yourself, and you become more about what the group is about or what the mentality is about. And for me, and I know from what I think and I know of you guys, anarchism, like, one of the reasons I'm drawn to it is because it's allowing me to be me, and it's allowing me to be free and have my own thoughts and apply them to my own life. It has very little to do with the entire anarchist, like, community and what they fully believe or what they're doing. I might agree with them on a lot of things, and I might completely disagree with on a lot of other stuff. And for that, sometimes people get completely shunned and fucked over. And this is something, when I'm saying we need to have a better more form of communication, we need to learn how to speak to each other, how to work through problems with each other. We need to understand that people fuck up and they make mistakes. We're all at fault of that. None of us are perfect. We're human. Just because we become, like, an activist or an anarchist, it's not like salvation. Like, that is the end of all. We've become baptized in this new glory, and we are free of all sins and all mistakes, and we've been forgiven for them. Like, we screw up, we fuck up, but how are we going to react to them? And how are we going to deal with each other after the fact? That's what counts. And on a positive note, I think talk to your friends, talk to the people that you're working with. Do you know them on a personal level? Do you know what their dog's or cat's name is? Do you know, like, how their, where their mom works or the type of job or the stress that their family's under? Do you know various things that are going on in their personal lives to make them act and think the way that they do? And if you don't, ask. Try talking to the people that you're working with. It'll make your friendships closer. It'll make you care about what you're doing. It'll make you care about the organizing that you're doing. And it'll make you work harder for each other. And it builds solidarity. It builds bonds that can't be broken. Not by jail, not by time away. It can't be broken. It's there. And you're building, like, lifelong friendships and teaching yourself to actually step outside of this box that we've been put in since the time that we're born. That's all. Go ahead, Jerome.
I think you summed it up.
Sherman, I'm kind of down right now to play track two. I want to hear track two.
Yeah, let's put it on.
All right, this is Sherman Austin, track two. Stay tuned. This is killradio.org, Sagittrop.
Federal agents carted away computers, hard drives, and other items that they say could be evidence of militant anti-government activity.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says we have to prepare for potential attacks even more deadly than September 11th. The head of the FBI says sleeper cells of terrorists exist in the U.S. That requires the nation to remain on extended high alert.
We're back. This is killradio.org, and you're listening to Agit Drop. And we're going to continue this discussion. I just want to remind people that on August 29th, down at the Che Cafe in San Diego, there's going to be a benefit show for Sherman Austin. And we'll get into more details about that. But before we do, during the break, we were in here talking about the issue of drugs and alcohol within organizing and within, you know, the movement. So Sherman, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to mention a few, you know, things, positive things that we should, you know, work on and focus on within the movement. I mean, one of the things is, like, the consumption of drugs and alcohol while doing actual organizing within the community. Because, you know, one thing I've noticed is that, you know, when you're going to have a space that you're going to invite the community into and you want to work with people, I mean, especially people who come from low-income backgrounds, you know, in a community that's, you know, predominantly a community of color, you want, you know, single mothers to come in who are, you know, have two children who they can bring in with them. I mean, doesn't make a very welcoming atmosphere when you have, you know, people who are, you know, drunk or, you know, have beer bottles all over the place or you have, like, drugs in a back room or something like that. I mean, these are the type of things I think we really need to clean up within the anarchist movement. And I think, you know, I've seen it, you know, not just within the anarchist movement, but, you know, in all sorts of, you know, different, you know, progressive movements and stuff. But I've definitely, you know, noticed it a lot in the anarchist movement. And I think it's something, like, we have to, like, really work on and focus on if we really want to be a productive movement. Because, I mean, like, alcohol, I mean, the consumption of alcohol while you're, you know, in the process of, like, doing organizing or doing, you know, work that, you know, that's going to be within the community. I mean, it's something that just makes you passive and makes you careless and just, I mean, over time it'll make you lazy and it'll just make your entire workspace disorganized and become, you know, unwelcoming to people who've never even been there before. And, you know, it sets an image, it sets an image that alienates you pretty much. I mean, people come into your space and they don't feel welcome, they want to leave. I mean, it just sets, like, this whole, you know, image of alienation that just, it's completely unwelcoming. So I think it's important. Like, I mean, other organizations in the past have also, like, talked about this. Like, I mean, the Black Panthers, I mean, had it, you know, made it, you know, a big rule within the organization not to consume drugs or alcohol while, you know, doing Panther duties and stuff like that. And I think that's, like, you know, a good thing to focus on, because, I mean, how are you going to go out there and, you know, try to challenge police brutality or, you know, go out there and try to work within the community, provide free breakfast programs, provide free clothes for people, things like that, when, you know, you're completely, you know, dry, you know, drugged up on something or high, or just, like, you're just drunk off your ass. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, and it's not healthy. I mean, so I think yeah, go ahead.
No, I also think on another note of it, like, even current organizations, like the Anarchist Black Cross Federation, the ABCF, besides, like, a lot of people might want to attack an idea of, like, them not promoting drug use or even drinking a lot within the organization and saying, oh, well, you're trying to tell people what to do or you're being controlling. That's not anarchist, whatever. But one of the things is police have used drugs to be able to get into groups and also lock up a lot of people. And it's been used so many times, and it's still being used today as a way to frame people and have them end up in jail. And if you're taking your organizing activity really seriously, you need to rethink that. Like, if you don't want to talk about the health issues or whatever, or even the image issues, but just think about where do these drugs come from, and how, like, what is the cycle of them? And the same goes with alcohol, you know? So I know different organizations that still even use that idea now is not mainly to tell people what to do, but it's so that you're at a clear mind, you're thinking clearly once you're organizing, and also so it doesn't give another open door for cops to use to be able to infiltrate your organization and take down members of it.
Yeah.
I mean, something like, what, 50 or 60% of people in prison today are there for nonviolent drug offenses.
Yeah, petty crimes.
Yeah, and a lot of those drugs are put onto these streets by the CIA, who get them, you know, from Latin America and stuff. I mean, geez, they've put in so many drugs on these streets that just lock people up. I mean, they do it so they can basically repress the community and keep the community down. And it's not good when, you know, we have a movement that's advocating, you know, radical change, you know, trying to challenge the same government that's, you know, flooding our communities with, you know, crack and heroin. And here we are, you know, maybe, like, doing these exact same drugs in the back of our own info shops that are supposed to be there to inspire radical change and things like that.
And the same goes for, like, if you're supporting major, like, tobacco or, like, alcohol distributions, and at the same time you're talking about, like, major corporations, you have to think that these are specific drugs that are put out to do one and one thing alone. And if we're, at some point, we need to actually make our political lives, our personal lives, and be held accountable for those things. So there's various reasons. But we've noticed within our organizing, that has always been a major issue. It promotes depression, it promotes, like, people to be lazy, not want to do things. It allows, like, it alienates not just other people wanting to get involved in your movement, and any nice people around you that are already willing to work with you. And constantly drinking or doing drugs within any movement, it should be talked about and dealt with, and should be kept out of the organizing circles, like, period. I don't see any reason why it's such a positive thing. We've seen it do so much more damage than good.
Yeah, healthy mind.
Okay, I'm going to put on another track here real quick because I want to change out the CD and then we'll come back, okay?
Cool.
Yeah! KRS-One coming through. Big Zach, Last Emperor. That's the sound of EMS. Last Emperor KRS. Big Zach, you know the rest. Now we're going to come down like this now. Hold tight, all crew.
Shatters the calm of the day like an alarm. So wake up, brand new, and take up arms. Cause more is necessary than vocabulary war. Cause a toxic rock imports hitting on your door. CIA, I see you later. Cause your time is coming soon. I flip this shit like Pacino and it's your dog day afternoon. Attica, Attica, drug agents, you bring your statica. My alphabet will slash that neck and flip you. Automatica, dramatic, like Ali Shaheed Muhammad brought the vibes. I bring the sun at red dawn upon the thoughts of France Fanon. So stand in attention, devil dirge. You never survive choosing sides against the wretched of the earth. The infiltrator, shroud intoxicator, people incarcerator, liberation movement annihilator. We got you clock pushing rocks in the fair. We got brothers trooping subways like the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We got the truth at it. Last Emperor KRS in history manifesting. Tomorrow the next lesson.
You plan on selling crack, but you be doing that.
They got a network for the toxic rock.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
So get that flashlight out of my face.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
The Last Emperor KRS-One and Big Zach.
As free market capitalism and technology expands, the third world's fertile soil becomes a desert wasteland. So it takes fans to demand the government provide answers. When Lady Liberty has me bewitched like Samantha, and poverty is one of the most malignant forms of cancer. To all my black magic romancers and acid rain dancers, develop close ties like Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza. We fear no man and throw jams that attack counterintelligence programs. Exciting like the epic adventures of Conan. I colonize minds like Zaire by the Belgians. Now what the hell is the problem with this system and what it sells us? I bring ancient relics like Wyclef did the Zealots. I saw an iron curtain called hip-hop and got it open like Boris Yeltsin. Whirlwind, tornadoes, in the rainforest if you say so. KRS and the Last of a roar like the Green Hornet and Kato. Zach De La Roca brings the enraged flow. But all three drop science and become the most powerful alliance since NATO.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that. You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that. You claim I'm selling crack. But you be doing that.
You know the cops, they got a network for the toxic rock.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
So get that flashlight out of my face.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
The Last Emperor KRS-One and Big Zach. Need I say the CIA be criminals in action? Cocaine, crack, unpacking, high surveillance tracking. Prominent blacks and whites giving orders for mass slaughters. I want all my daughters to be like Maxine Waters. When they flooded the streets with crack cocaine, I was like Noah. Now they lower, cause the whole Cold War is over. Communism fell to the dollars you were grabbing it. Only assault and battering in the name of intelligence gathering. Now it's karma you battling, a losing fight. I choose the mic to recite, ignite light in the night. We should beat them. President Clinton should delete him. It's not hard. The CIA simply has no more job. Oh my God, it's mother. You can fix this. We rock over mixes, not 666s. Yo, this is the message to all that can hear it. If you've got secret information, now's the time to share it. Call your congresswoman, your senator, your mayor. It's time for all the scholars to unite with all the players. Rearrange and see, times are definitely changing, G. They used to tap the phone, now they tapping while you paging me. It's crazy, B. Yet it's plain to see who the enemy, who's left, the NRA, the ATF, the AMA, okay, it's all irrelevant, cause in the new millennium, there'll be no central intelligence.